Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
In the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about why we may not receive blessings from the hand of God. And among the things we have established is that God is good and is always willing to bless. Don't ever forget that. God is never one to be willing to punish. The Bible says that he's slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. We said, therefore, if God is like that, why is it that we may not receive blessings from his hand? Number one, we said sin and iniquity is a strong factor that might prevent us from receiving the blessings of God. And we said that the reconciliation that is found in the power of the blood of Jesus is a primary thing that everybody should reach out for. That after that, we said that idols, because after God has forgiven people, sometimes they still reach out for idols in their hearts. And for God, we established last week from Deuteronomy chapter 32, that in the life of Jacob, for God, it was important that no other God was found in him. When God says, my glory I will not share with another, what he means is that I will be the one to do the thing for you, and nobody else will be able to claim the glory. Are you getting the point I'm making here? So it is very important that as Christians, we ensure that we cooperate with God in removing every other God from our lives. And the first one we established is the idols of places. That what do you call an idol? Idol is anybody or anything that you ascribe the function in your life that God is supposed to perform, you ascribe it to that thing. So if you are believing God for prosperity or increase, and you say, if I don't get to Port Harcourt, if I don't get to Lagos, if I don't get to Abuja, if I don't get to another country, I will not get it, then you are saying that those places, they are the gods that can do that thing for you. Therefore, you have made those places idols. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Let me just say this one again in passing. The moment you realize that God can bless you from anywhere, this is an interesting part. He now opens doors for you to go to any place. Do you understand my point? That is, once in your heart, you know he can bless you from anywhere. God would test you by varying circumstances. And one of the things that God does is that he disappoints you and checks your response. That one is very important because you can't fool God. The Bible says, behold, God is not mocked. All right? You cannot fool God. What he does is that you say, okay, God, I know that you can bless me from anywhere. Then you try to go to one place and he blocks you. He prevents you from getting it. And if you grumble, you say you haven't learned anything. Are you getting my point? But when thanksgiving rises from the depth of your heart, then God knows that indeed you have learned that lesson. We said another thing that people hold on to as idols is men. And that's what we talked about again extensively last week. That when you hold people in positions, that is, you hold people in esteem, that they will be the ones to help. And when they don't help, you are angry with them. That is, unforgiveness is a sign that people actually occupy the place of God in your life. That is, you've made idols of people. And we read from Mark chapter 11 that Jesus explained like this, you may have great faith, and your faith you want to use to get something from the hand of God, but if the angel of blessing, that is the one that God has sent your blessing through, finds unforgiveness in your heart, he will find it difficult to deliver the blessing to you because your hand will be facing the wrong direction, not the direction of God. Listen, every time people hurt you in life and people disappoint you, it is so as to remind you that only God can be trusted. Are you getting me? So there's no point sitting down on somebody who disappointed you. No. Every time you put up your hands and give God thanks because you know your help comes from the Lord. Listen, let me say this. I can't emphasize it enough. If you want good in life, you have to look at the hand of God for it. David said, as the eyes of the servant looks to the master, so our eyes are upon you, O God. Are you getting my point? Now, when God wants to send a blessing and your heart is in the right our spiritual state to receive it, then God can send it from any geographical location and he can send it through anybody. That is, you will have no anger or animosity, unforgiveness towards anybody because the person did not help. We established all these things in the last few weeks. Now, something I introduced last week is the issue of envy and jealousy. And this is a very crucial reason why people may not receive from the hand of God. And to explain that, I'd like to take a text of the scriptures from the book of James. James chapter 4 verse 1. He said, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? He said, you lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. He said, verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Now, James was explaining that the reason why people ask for something is important before God when God is granting them their request. And if you look at it in context, you will see that James was trying to explain that God always answers prayers that are offered to him with a clean motive, with a true heart. And he was charging these people that there are a lot of quarrels amongst them, And the reason is because they are envious towards one another. Are you getting my point? A man has bought a car. The person who has not bought one is angry, is envious. You know, the reason being that you feel like this guy is showing to everybody that I'm a failure. I don't know whether you get my point. Because after all, he's my friend. If he can do it, why have I not done it? Listen, there are three things that John said are in the world. There is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And here, James is explaining that when people now want to pray, they use their friends. And this is the interesting part. Usually, you are not envious of your enemies. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, that's a fact. Envy usually rises up towards the person who is close to you. Are you getting me? And listen, let me say this. If God can take envy and jealousy away from your heart, then you have really, really made it towards breakthrough. Because I said something when I was teaching some time ago, that if you are looking for blessing from God so as to impress people, the first thing God does is to disgrace you before those people before he begins to bless you. Are you getting my point? And what I'm saying is a fact. God takes pleasure in disgracing his children that are looking for blessing so as to impress other people. There's a message I preached titled, God is not slow. The Bible says that God is not slow concerning his promises. What was he trying to say? That you see, when you use the wrong timing, because he said that with God, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like one day. That is, you see, God has his own timing. You cannot use your own timing to judge God. And how do we time things? For example, you are a young woman. You are in a circle of friends, about 5 of them. And 2 of them have gotten married. You think that that has proved to you that they are finer than you. After all, no, it's true. Because that is the reason why men came for them first and they did not come for you. Meanwhile, that is a lie of Satan. Absolutely a lie of Satan. Now, are you getting what I'm going to say here? So, the prayer point. Dear Lord, this 2007, my year of marriage, God is saying that, why? So that you can say that just like Awaka got married and Nkechi has gotten married, me too, I have gotten married. Absolutely nonsense. Therefore, if 2007 comes and goes, and God does not bring marriage in your direction, you say God is slow. Meanwhile, God indeed is not slow. The Bible says he's only slow as some count slowness. Are you getting my point? He's only slow as some count slowness. That is, when I want to get married and I use the timing of my friends, then God will appear slow. And this is the interesting part. The more I use my own timing, using my friend's situation in life, the slower God becomes in reality. Because God said, you ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Because with God, your motive is very important. God does not minister a blessing of competition. Are you getting what I already say? He doesn't. So my friend bought a car last Christmas. This Easter must not pass me by. God said, you have just started. This Easter will pass. The next one will pass. All the Christmases will pass until you have been thoroughly disgraced. Are you getting me? And then you are now saying that, God, please give me a car so I can do my business well. God says, okay, in that case, I will give it to you. Say, God, give me a car so I can take my wife around in comfort. God says, in that case, because you have asked out of love, I will give it to you. Out of competition, I don't have time. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? It's so important we understand this. These are the reasons why people don't receive from God. It's not as if God doesn't want to bless. God says, I will give you my blessing, then you will turn into a source of quarrels. Whose car is the biggest? First to buy a V-boot. Who's the first to buy a Jeep? And then you go and pray. In Jesus, then you go to church and say, sow a seed for your Jeep. May you continue to sow the seeds because your church will become richer. But believe me, you are not going to get anything. I hope you are getting my point. No, this is important. He said, why do you ask and you don't receive? Because you ask with wrong motives. Last week, I explained something about Anna. And this is very important for all of us to understand. Because, you see, there's what I call the power of resonance. A word I picked from physics, which also applies to spiritual things. He said, if you start thinking along with the plan of God and with the thoughts of God, all right, quickly, power is made available towards you. Are you getting what I'm going to say? If every time you're asking God for something, your motive is genuine. Listen, a genuine motive is that you want to be blessed. No, really. Are you getting my point? If you go out one day and they splash water on you on the road, and your clothes are always getting dirty, you're always sweaty, and you say, God, please give me a small car to avoid all this embarrassment. It's a genuine motive. And God will answer you. But if you say, God, please give me a car so that all my friends will know I really believe in you. In that case, God says, I am not doubting about my ability. Are you getting my point? I'm not in doubt concerning my ability at all. And listen, I believe you believe in me. So why should we show it to your friends? Then God just be looking at you and say, this guy is not serious yet. Your motive, listen, let me tell you something about God. He's not in competition with anybody. Are you getting my point? A friend of mine and I, those when we were in university, we analyzed it. There are some chaps who were very, very wealthy. That is when I say wealthy. One of them, his father owned a bank in Nigeria. Then, but we didn't know. We said we noticed that these chaps, you don't notice, they don't, there's no air about them. They are used to being rich, so they're not trying to impress anybody. This guy have in mind, when all of us used to go out to eat, he used to cook himself. That is, on one small stove, he and his friends, sharing one single pot. The day we realize how much wealth this guy had behind him, get my point, the boy studied medicine, never practiced it for one day. Shortly after he left school, his father sent him to Harvard or somewhere, earned an MBA, started heading a bank in Nigeria. But we're in school together. He wore squeeze shirts like everybody else. He was nice. He was a Christian young man. He was nice to everybody. You wouldn't suspect. But you know the boys who have nothing, who are hungry. The little money their father will give them, as soon as they come to school, they go and buy the most expensive shirts, the most expensive shoes, the most expensive trousers. And walking around campus trying to feel important. You should know that guy is a confused person. Stop competing with madmen. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? The madness of youth. Why do you get into competition? A lot of girls who are getting involved in immorality, dating big men. Now, the only reason is because they are competing with their friends. The madness of youth. Why is a madman on the road? Do you try to strip your clothes to show that you too, you're as bold as he is? You know he's mad. Let me tell you, young people listening to me tonight, your friends who you are competing with, most of them are spiritually mental. They are morally crazy. That's the one we're in school. My friend and I, we noticed it. He said, look, these guys who don't have anything, who have to struggle for every naira, they're the ones that want to impress you. Boys that could pop their fingers like this and their fathers would send cars down to campus, they didn't care about it. You know why? Inside them, they were not in doubt. Are you getting me? Some of the people who are trying to form outside, inside them, nothing did. Nothing. That is the reason. I like the way Ed Cole says it. He said, the cheaper the merchandise, the higher the gloss. When there's nothing inside, they paint it very well for you. Make sure it's looking very shiny, very nice. When in reality, there is nothing inside. Are you getting my point? Vainglory. That's what they are seeking. When in reality, what God wants to give is blessing that endures. I was saying that, look, God is not interested in competition at all. He gives people for the sake of giving them, for the sake of blessing them, that they might impact their generation with the goodness of God. That's all. Talking about that power of resonance, anything you so come to God to ask for, get me, God will never deny. Are you getting my point? He will never deny. In fact, let me share this one with you as a child of God. Your most important prayer point is to cleanse your motives before God. David said it like this. Search me, O Lord, and check whether there is any hurtful thing inside me. Another place, he said, renew a right spirit within me. What was he trying to say? That if I have the right spirit inside, what comes out outside is natural. Jesus said it like this. He said, wash the inside of the cup, and the outside will be clean also. Are you getting what I'm saying? Again, let me tell you, God is not slow. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. The reason why he appears slow is because we are using other people's timing. The Bible says that there is a race that is set in front of you. Only you. Listen, you are competing against yourself. If you win, it is because you did what God said you should do. Not because you beat somebody else in doing his own. Are you getting my point? And if you lose, it is because you refuse to obey God. Not because other people who succeeded. No. Listen, your race is individual. One day Jesus called Peter. He said, come. Peter pointed at John. He said, what about this one? And Jesus said, what business of yours is it? That is like Paul said, mind your own business. Do you get what I'm going to say here? Listen, the year your friend bought a car doesn't concern you at all. The year they built houses is their personal problem. It doesn't concern you at all. It's not the first man to build a house in your village that has the finest house, is it? And you can be sure of one thing, the finest one has not been built yet. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? Listen, God wants to bless people. But one of the reasons why he can't is that their motives are wrong. Are you following what I'm saying? Envy and jealousy, vainglory is another important reason why people don't receive from the hand of God. I hope you have understood that point. Now, I've been talking about people. Let me go on to another thing. We're analyzing one by one about many reasons about why people may not receive from the hand of God. We have talked about sin. We have talked about idols. We've talked about envy. And the next thing I want to talk about, we'll find from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. Concerning the appointment of David. In the last time I explained that sometimes God bless you through one person and then you think that next time God wants to bless, he'll use the same method. And that's something about God. The Bible said there are diversities of manifestations. It's still the same God. God doesn't use the same method all the time. Therefore, sometimes when God wants to bless people, listen to this, they miss the method by which God really wants to bless them. That is one. Then number two is that they also miss the timing of God's visitation. Let me explain what I'm going to say here. You know, just now I was explaining something that God is not slow. It's only as some count slowness that God is slow. Then again, when God wants to bless, we don't understand the method that God wants to use. Therefore, we miss his blessing. When God first time wanted to appoint the king in Israel, the person he picked, that is the person of Saul, the Bible said was a head and neck taller than every other person in Israel. It was the closest to a giant that he had in Israel. Now, God never said, I am appointing him because of his stature. But Samuel thought that was what God did. Now, this is the interesting part. When God now rejected Saul, and he was going to appoint another king, he said, number one, forget Saul. Let me give you another king. I found him in the house of Jesse. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now, well, when he began to pass in front of Samuel, and Samuel was supposed to pick one of them, the elders came by name Eliab. And Samuel thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said in verse 7 to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outside appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I won't bore you with the story, but you go down to the end of that passage, you will see that when David was anointed, the Bible said he came in, he was a youth, quite young, all right, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. This is what I want you to understand. God had looked at the heart of David. He did not use the same method that Samuel thought he would use, the same method he used the first time. What am I saying? Sometimes we miss God's blessing because we have put God in a particular box that this is the only way he does things. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say here. Maybe you needed money some time ago, and the way by which God sent it was that an old friend who you told your tale of woe, are you getting me? Who has become rich, gave you the money to solve your immediate problems in your business or whatever. And next time you are praying to God, I need money for some issues. Then you start going around telling stories to all your old rich friends, thinking that, yes, this is how God does it. And this is the interesting part. God this time around would not come through like that. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say here. Listen, with God, the Bible makes it clear there are diversities of manifestations. One of the things you must do in life is to try and understand the timing of God. This is what I want to say is very important. Notice this, because you see, the mistake we make is that we try to make God do things the way we think they should be done, especially when he has done it like that in the past. Like Israel. Israel was praying for deliverance from the hand of their oppressors, and they expected a champion, a warrior. People like Gideon, people like Samson, who will be strong and who will be able to face the oppressors, the Romans. Are you getting my point? But when God was going to send their Messiah, he sent a preacher, a healing minister, in the name of Jesus Christ. And they looked at him and quickly crucified him. Like I said about 2 weeks ago, many of us have crucified the blessing of God in our lives because it doesn't look like, they know exactly like what we are expecting. Somebody told me a story once, and it will help all of us to hear this story. Like he told a story where he was preaching and I was present. He said there was a young man whose claim he had visions for God, a preacher. So he came to this senior preacher, and the preacher said, wow, you know, they prayed and everything. It was the vision of God. So the man said, what do you want to do? He said, I want to start a church for God, you know. The guy said, fine, no problem. So what you will need is some money to rent a small hall, make a few chairs and all of that. The man said, fine. So he went in there, and he began to preach. And this man was an anointed young man. He preached and preached and preached for about a year or so, or two. And the church grew, but slightly, you know, just a little bit. It grew, maybe a few tens of people, maybe about 50 people were attending the church. This man went back to his mentor. He said, sir, what is going on here was not the vision that I saw. I know what he did. He closed the church down and left the city. I went to another city. When this man was telling us the story, he was trying to teach something I want to share with you briefly. He said, you know the problem with that man? He doesn't understand that when God gives visions, you only see the end, you don't see the process. Are you getting the point? Yes, you saw yourself ministering to multitudes. But you can't minister to multitudes now. You can only minister to a few. Therefore, God has sent a few. But this guy aborted the process of God because he did not know how God does. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? That is, he put God in a box. He expected that the first time as a young man in his 20s, he will raise his hand, the whole of that city will gather and say, Jesus has come. Unfortunately, he raised his hand and shouted, 2-3 people will come in one day. The following day, another person joins. After I watched it for about a year or two, he went, closed the thing, and said, God is not here. Do you get what I'm saying? the pastor of my church I attended in Lagos. Something happened to him some time ago. In 1 year, the church grew from, in the hall they used, they grew from having one service to having four services because of the increase in the number of people that attended. So some people came to him and said, what is going on? He said, first, you guys will bear in mind that for 8 years, I did just one service in this same place. That is number one. Now, we can discuss what happened. But first, let's start from where we started. Don't think I just jumped in here, and in 1 year, we went from having one service to four. He said, but for 8 years, we had one service in this place for 8 full years. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. That is, a lot of times, people miss the process of God, and they despise the gift that God has given them. Let me say this to you again. You see, when God wants to give you a gift in life, a lot of times, the Bible said that he ministers seed to the sower. That is, you want a harvest, but what he gives you is what? A seed. And he says, go and plant it, then I will pour water upon the seed that you have planted. This is my favorite example, and I can't say it enough because it will help people. It's a serious problem in our society. Every young man prays for a very rich and successful husband, right? You're not praying for problems in life. You want success. But the interesting part is that God also sends seeds. Listen, a young man is a young man. You know why it's called a young man? Because he's a struggling man. So if you want to marry an old man, fine. But you want to marry a successful young man, listen, at the time you see him, he's not likely to look very successful. But the success, all you need to do is identify whether it is in his heart or it is not. Because if you see a poor man at heart having a lot of money, it's a matter of time you become poor physically. If you see a poor man physically who is rich at heart, you look in his heart, the wealth of God dwells therein, then it's a matter of time, materially, you'll become wealthy. But people are only looking for harvest. They don't understand that God gives seeds to the sower. Are you getting my point? Listen, there's something I want to share with you before I close. It's called the time of visitation, which we must all learn to recognize. Yes, you prayed for a harvest. The promise that God gave Abraham was, you'll be a father of many nations. But in fulfillment of that promise, he gave him one child at first, Isaac. If every other child he managed to have, God didn't even count them as part of the fulfillment. What did God give him? A seed, one, Isaac. And then he was able to die in peace, knowing that indeed Isaac will become very great. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that's the principle. If you had despised Isaac, you would say, God didn't give me my many nations. But God indeed gave it to him. All right? Now, in Luke chapter 19, if you read from verse 41, the Bible said that Jesus approached Jerusalem and he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known in this day, even you, the things that make for your peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another. He said, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Now, what am I trying to explain here? Again, like we said, we pray for blessings from God's hands. But God says there is what is called the time of visitation. That is, the thing that you are really praying for, there is a time I give you the seed to sow in that direction. I hope you are getting what I want to say here. I've explained something in previous times, that life is in seasons. There is seed time and there is harvest. There is a youth period of life and there is a time of what the Bible calls the season in which God brings you to judgment for all the things done. Now, most of the people I'm preaching to will probably be in their youths. And God is saying that, yes, you are praying right now for greatness. You are praying for blessing. But you see, everything has a season. Most of the things that you are praying for, I'll do them for you, not now, but later. But this is the season in which you sow the right seeds. That is, if you don't do the right things now, you will get into your future and you will not find an answer to your prayers. Oh, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Let me explain further. That is, there's a young man, peradventure, God has called him to be a great entrepreneur, as an example. He wants to be a great man also. He said, me too, one day I will employ 20,000 people. And God gauges it. This guy is praying this prayer and he's 21 years old. Okay, we'll do this thing in his life over the next 19, 20, 25 years. Are you getting my point? So, but while he's 21, we begin to give him seed for the sower. That is, between now and the next 8 years of his life is the time of his visitation. Now, the time of judgment will come later. What was Jesus trying to say here? Jerusalem will be destroyed because when Jesus came, they did not recognize it. The destruction of Jerusalem came years after Jesus had departed. But if they wanted to stop that destruction, they would have had to do something while Jesus was around. Are you getting what I'm saying? So God looks at this 21-year-old boy. He said, between now and the next 8 years, I am going to lead you in the path of righteousness for my own name's sake. I will give you small money. You will use it in the right method. Somebody told me about a young man once. They tell him, why don't you work hard? Why don't you go to work? He wake up in the morning. He was a trader. He said, I'm going to his shop. He'll say, that the kind of money that makes a man rich, nobody so did they make him. That young man did not recognize the time of his visitation. What he's saying is true, in that it is not like that you will make the money. But he forgot that it is only like that you will qualify for making the money. So he was lazing around. And of course, he never became rich, for the little I know. And based on spiritual principles, he will never become rich. I mean, working like that, he can never. Because the time of his visitation, he's doing the wrong things. Are you getting my point? Listen, I've said this again and again. Satan does not have the power to make you poor. He doesn't have it. What he does is to entice you to use your own hands to make yourself poor. So this young man, this hypothetical young man, he's 21. Okay, fine. Everybody say, go to school, go and read your book. If you are doing business, do your business little by little. Wake up in the morning. You won't get so much money. But learn to invest money. Learn to manage money. Learn to be a blessing to people. Learn to sow spiritual seeds and to sow physical seeds. But his friends start driving BMWs within the next 2 years. And then they take his eyes away. During the time of his visitation, he starts serving Satan. I keep on saying this. Every crook of a young man, listen to me. This is the day of salvation. This is the time for repentance. Listen, God does not start serving his feast until he has closed the door. Let me explain that again. Before God starts serving the feast for a particular generation, the first thing he does is to close the door. That is, if God calls your generation, all young men, listen to me. A few will come out of iniquity. Are you getting me? And they will begin to practice righteousness. And they will become very broke. Those who continue stealing will glorify it. 419. They will continue to make some money. Are you getting my point? Why calls for repentance keep going out? Then one day, the people who repented, God begins to bless them. And people, some people now say, legit business is good. When they pull out, before they can pull out into legit business, God clamps down on them. Some are in jail. All right? At the end of the day, all of them are back to poverty. And the door to breakthrough is permanently closed for that generation. Are you getting what I'm saying? By then, young men are in their 40s. All their friends that were fast 20 years ago, they are now incredibly slow. But those who were slow then, who have persistently walked with God, have now stepped into abundance and into great influence in life. But the time of visitation has passed for the other people. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is one major reason why people pray to God for things and they don't get it, is that they don't recognize the timing of God. God doesn't, look, if you ask God for a great business, he gives you one small motorcycle to start doing business with. Say, God, I want a chain of stores. He gives you one tiny store, a cut out one from a major one inside the market. And God said that, I heard your prayer. This is the answer to your prayer. And you say, God, I asked for a great chain of stores. He said, yes, can't you see it? Are you blind? Inside that small one I have given you is the great one. He said, every seed I have given you, inside it lies a tree. And inside that tree, there are fruits. And inside the fruits are more seeds, inside which lie more trees, inside which there are more fruits. He said, plant it, and you will never be poor in life. But the guy looks at it and buries his talent and never amounts to anything. Are you getting my point? And he said, I prayed to God, and God did not answer. When in reality, God answered him the first day he prayed. And God indeed sent his answer, but the answer came as a seed. I always say it like this, because it's a matter of fact. Many young men who have been despised by young ladies today, the ladies will turn to their children and tell stories. You see that guy? He wanted to marry me, but because he didn't have a car, I said no. Now he can buy a car for every street in his hometown if he wants. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Listen, I am not scaring you. I'm telling you the truth. It will happen. You can't help it. It's the principle of God. It must happen. The stones that the builders rejected must one day become the chief cornerstone. That's the way it works. Are you getting my point? Let me stop there for today. But I've got over a number of points. Idols must be out. Unforgiveness. envy and jealousy, and then not recognizing the time of God's visitation or putting God in a box, that this is how he did it for A, he must do it like that for B. No, God said, with me, there are diversities of manifestations, all the same God.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.